Hey, this is Ashley with Smoker Builder, and you're listening to the Smoker Builder Podcast.
Yeah, I'm down here in the holler and roller, visiting the headquarters here, hanging out with Frank and the crew for, all week, actually. We'll be down here, so have some fun, build some drums and paint some drums and pack some drums and whatever else we got to do.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
There you are.
All right.
Yeah.
It took a couple of tries, but I'm on.
We got it. So, well, there's a lot of people are impressed with that beard. So we're gonna let you start it off by telling a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you're so deeply into barbecue. You're on Facebook, you definitely know he's all over the place.
Oh yeah. If you follow our social media, you know I think we've driven close to 6,000 miles already since September. So, and 90% of it's barbecue related. But yeah, we're retired. We got into the competition barbecue scene about 3-4 years ago, something like that, and started judging, just trying to learn how to cook a little bit better. Then realized that our judging in Alaska was in need of some help. Let's just put it that way. It was really inconsistent. There, you know, depending on where we went to, what week, we kind of had to figure out what the judges were looking for. The judges had to figure out what we were why. And one thing led to another, and we kind of started getting involved in with the Alaska Barbecue Association at that point. And anyway, the short version of the story is we decided to become reps for Kansas City Barbecue Society and started down that training mode. And then we were confronted by Brett and Ken, if you know them, for the Steak Cook-Off Association.
Yeah.
They begged and pleaded, and we said no, and they begged and pleaded, and then they ended up getting me drunk, and that worked. So we went, we jumped in and did the SCA too. So, we're reps, for Alaska for both of those, sanctioning bodies. And then decided, what the heck, we're in this deep. Why don't we start our own nonprofit? And so we got our own 501c3, if any of you guys know what all that means. And we're starting, it's called AKBBQINC, so Alaska Barbecue Incorporated. And it's a nonprofit set up to get kids, introduce youth, I don't want to say kids, it's just to call it youth, into cooking and or food sports. And we originally said, high school, barbecue, and then, well, we can't call it barbecue because we're grilling steaks, and, all the purists out there, yell at you for saying the wrong word. So,
yeah, gotta be perfect.
So anyway, it's youth for food sports is kind of what we're focused on, and we got that started. And so during our training, kind of how I got involved with Smoker Builder U and our leader there, Frank, we ran into each other. I was in one of my trainings for KCBS as a rep, and we were down there, and we were walking around, and went to one tent, and they were cooking on some cool looking octagon shaped offsets, and stopped and talked, and he introduced himself, and I introduced myself, and he said, "You're from Alaska?" And I said, "Yeah, we're originally from Kansas City." And he's like, "Oh, are you that John Mann?"
That
and
John.
I'm like, "Oh," I was kind of like, "Oh crap, do I owe him money or what?" what? And then he made the comment, which really kind of raised the eyebrows of all the other guys standing around. He's, "Last time I saw you, we were laying next to each other in a cornfield." And everybody kind of looked at us strange, and as you can imagine, but come to find out, it all came back to a couple old guys' memories, and we had had a mutual friend and had goose hunted several times.
Oh,
hence the laying in the cornfield, right? Okay. And so we had, we kind of got reconnected and talked and found out that what we were trying to do is get equipment up for our nonprofit up to Alaska. So those of you that don't know where Alaska is, it's a long ways up there. And that's our biggest challenge is the logistics. Yeah, the logistics of getting things up there. So we worked it out, and Frank actually was one of our very first donations, and we worked out a deal, and I got six of his drum kits up there. I was able to find six trash cans, barrels, and we end up putting those together, and we've hit it off and reconnected and kind of hung out quite a bit.
Okay.
Lately. Now I'm down here and, you know, so kind of helping out and doing what we can and trying to help promote the Super 55 as well, you know, as well as all the other stuff that he's got going on. He's crazy busy.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
So that's kind of our story. You know, we've got, if anybody's interested, reach out to me on social media. We do have a GoFundMe. We're working on trying to raise the rest of the funds. I just had a big donation from Pits and Grills out of Springfield. He actually won some prize money at his own contest he had this weekend and didn't feel like it would be right to keep it. So he donated it to help with our shipping funds. We're trying to get 12 more Super 55s up there to use for our program. And right now I need to raise about $1,600 in just to cover the shipping to get up there. So we do have a GoFundMe. If anybody, even $10 a piece, you know, if you can, anybody can help us out, I'd appreciate it. I don't want to get on here and beg for money, but the only way to do it.
And what is this, an after school program, or is it through this high school, or?
Yeah, great question. I'm doing my best. I'm a retired school teacher. I'm doing my best not to affiliate it with the school district. If you've ever done anything after school hours with school district, you know that there's, every time you sneeze, you got to have, you know, a special form filled out to do anything. Yeah. So we're trying, but we are working with the culinary teachers at the high school level, and some at the college also. And so we're trying to develop an interest in that. The last one we did, we sponsored a kids queue and had 16. Oh, Frank's jacking with me now. So we had 16 kids competing in a pork chop bar, you know, just in a kids queue. And that most of them were all middle school, grade school kids. And so we're starting at that level. I did a little training class for some troubled youth, simply how to light charcoal in a Weber grill. And, you know, we grilled some kebabs and stuff. And there's about 20 kids that went through that. But tying it with the school, my goal eventually is to get enough interest in it through culinary and like FFA programs like that, to where we can get some high school teams to compete and become a part of the National High School Barbecue Association's contest. I didn't even know it existed until a year ago. I've met what they call him the principal, I guess, of that. And their championship's actually going to be right down the road from here in France and Missouri. Championship this year. So, yeah, I'm trying to, I'm kind of hoping that might work out, but we'll see. We got to get started.
I was going to say, my high school had that FFA, it was meat processing a class, and they smoked a lot of jerky, and they showed you how to cut a beef and stuff like that. So I would assume that there might be other schools that have similar situations to where they can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, one of the cool things, I've got one FFA teacher that I've been in contact with. I really am trying to get them to actually build my drums for me, or with me, let's put it that way. That way, you know, if we can get them to build these kits and, you know, actually, you know, have an interest in how the things are put together and how they work and all that, I think it's going to be even cooler. You know, hey, I made a hamburger, but I built the darn grill that we cooked it on, you know, it looks a little bit like that. Dave, in the comments there, I'm not talented to talk and type at the same time. So Dave, you know, getting the elementary and intermediate school kids, I think is definitely, you know, where to get them, at least just spark that interest, man, you know, get them in there and, you know, let them play a little bit and see what happens. But yeah, it'd be fun. I hope it all works out. You know, we're working our tail off to try to make it work. And we have been all over the lower 48. We've been, for those that don't know, we're retired. So we're what they call snowbirding. If nobody knows what that means, it's, there's snow on the ground. We got the heck out of Dodge. And back home right now, they had record snowfall in Eagle River, Alaska, where we're from. I had 119 inches of snowfall so far this winter. And that's, for those mathematically challenged in the group, that's 1 inch less than 10 feet. So I have over 40 inches of snow on my roof right now. I'm crossing my fingers that we don't get a bunch more before I get back in April. So, you know, there's that. But we've been run contests in Bullhead City, Arizona. We went to American Royal this year. We were at the Shed contest, which if you ever get to go to that place is nuts. It's cool. It's a great barbecue joint. And then we went from there to Lakeland, Florida, from there back to the NBBQA in San Antonio for 5 days, conference there. You know, definitely give those guys a check out, the National Barbecue Association. So check them out. And then, you know, it's a good affiliation. If you want to get into some of the in-depth stuff, a lot of stuff, to, you know, Barbecue News Magazine, I think, is affiliated with them too. And so anyway, I've got to meet and sit down and talk with and have cocktails with some of my heroes, Tuffy Stone, Mark Lambert, you know, Brad Lettinger. Some of you guys know these people. Heath Riles. I'm forgetting some of them, but you know, I geek out and I'm like a little kid meeting Joe Montana sometimes when I see these guys. So, but anyway, that, what's that, Tahlequah Falls? Oh, is that, that's not Tahlequah, Oklahoma, is it, Delfort?
Tallulah.
Okay, sorry,
Tallulah Falls. I know he's up. That's up in Georgia. I know. That's
I didn't teach language when I was a teacher. I was a PE teacher. So that's why I can't read.
he said they did not remember the name of those guys. Maybe able to do it. A great resource up there. Yeah, that's my grandma. Yeah, from up there. That part.
Gotcha, Georgia. Okay, gotcha.
That's a good.
Yeah, so just a selfless lug. I don't think so. I don't know. Is the background noise too bad for you guys? Is it okay?
No, not really. I mean, do you think so, Ashley?
I can. Here, let me. I'm gonna walk down the hall. That's fine. You're fine. Sorry. I'm gonna go in the dark for just a second here. There we go. We're having a late dinner. We got a late start on the grill tonight. So, you know, if you guys would reach out, if you don't follow me or on social media, it's AK for Alaska BBQ. If you don't know what that means, then you're in the wrong spot, right? Okay. And then Mann is my last name, MANN. So AK barbecue me on there. That's on the hat there. I'm pretty active on Facebook, Instagram, and then for whatever reason, I'm on TikTok. I'm drawing a blank, man. TikTok. There you go. Thank you. I thought TikTok was for 12-year-old girls to dance, but I've learned different. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I was watching.
Thank you.
Like you said, I saw you when you were up there with Tuffy and them. And
yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty cool. I'm meeting all those people, and I've learned a ton in the last. I've met so many new people, and since I got involved with this 3 years ago, that most of the time I can't remember who they are or where I met. Unless they're, you know, like Tuffy, he's like barbecue Jesus, I think.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty cool. So do y'all just have drums, or do y'all get other kind of like grills or smokers, any type things that y'all get up there?
I have mainly the drum situation is the easiest for shipping on, and that's why I'm honestly why I lean towards Frank's Super 55 kits is the shipping. The logistics of getting we actually took about four of the kits as extra luggage on the airport this time last year. We took them up there on the plane. We actually paid $100 to be able to haul them back up there. But so anyway, we've scratched and clawed and everything trying to get stuff up there. And I have a pellet cooper. You know, I've got a Traeger up there. I bought a brand new WSM up there because I actually had one of our contests. We had a team coming from Costa Rica that wanted to cook on a WSM, and I had a donation cover it at that time, and I had my other drums tied up, and so I was able to buy it through Home Depot, and so I didn't have to pay any shipping. I got it directly through Home Depot, so that worked out. The contest got canceled, oddly enough, and it's never been used. I hadn't even been put together yet. It's still in the box. But I have about 10 22-inch Webers for the kids now that we use most of the time. And
that's cool.
So you can imagine my storage area. It's full of barbecue stuff.
And how often do y'all get together? Yeah. Is it like a once a month thing, or every weekend y'all get together?
Right now we're still in the beginning stages of it. Okay. Contest wise, we will probably have this year, I imagine, probably three KCBS events and probably three or four of the SCA, the state cookoff contest.
And how do the kids practice, though? Far, do they practice previously to the contest, or?
A lot of it right now is just trying to get people interested. So we just put it out there that, hey, if you've got a kid that wants to cook, bring them on. It's free. We sponsor the whole thing. We buy all the meat. We buy all the charcoal and have the grills there. They show up, parents, depending on their age, of course, parents need to be standing close, but I've got several of my judges and just all the other people up there that are hanging out. And we just, I think we've done hamburgers and we've done hot dogs and we've done, pork chops, the easiest, by the way. And we just make a big deal out of it, when we go to awards and we're announcing them, and we treat them like they're a world champion if we can. Just trying to get them interested. And right now the classes have not started because we just don't have the funding just yet, and so we're still working on that. Equipment wise, I think this by this summer I'll have most of the equipment we need. But then we've got funding for you know, we need a trailer to haul this stuff in. We need, you know, we need funding for the meets and stuff for all the classes. And, you know, some hopefully we'll get free locations, but that's not always a given, you know.
So yeah,
there's expenses involved, but you know, we're working on it. So
yeah,
we can take any help we can get, you know, at this point. Anybody knows any kids that cook that would be interested in coming up and putting on a class with me, get in touch with me, because I've got a couple of them that I'm trying to do. Because I mean, as you can imagine, I'm a retired school teacher, so I know an old guy in the beard sitting up there talking like I am now for after 5 minutes, they're checked out. So, but if I've got, you know, if I've got somebody close to their age that, that can, you know, be part of it, and you know, it's going to help. So,
yeah.
All anyway, right. I've rambled on way much. I hope I didn't take bore anybody here. So we didn't lose any participants, I don't think. So,
it's fine. We just get on here and just talk and have a good time. That's all it is. A lot of times it's just me and Richard.
So yeah. When you travel around, are you on an RV or how do y'all do this now?
Well, this is our first year doing it, and we didn't know how we would like being gone for 6 months, and so I didn't want to invest in a big RV and all that to do it. So we're basically, I mean, the short version is we had an apartment based out of Kansas City. With our daughter until January, and we just home based out of there and just traveled everywhere. The lease was up in January, and we rented our house out when we left to help fund our traveling expenses. And so we can't go back home till April 1st. So we're basically homeless. And one of the reasons I'm down here with Frank is I didn't have a place this week that without, you know, getting a motel, and he's like, hey, just come on down. We can do some stuff down there. So we decided that, you know, I was down in Springfield for a contest anyway. And so 2 hour drive from there, we drove over here, going to hang out for the week. And then I'm going back to Kansas City on Friday. Got a sausage making class with Kelly Wirtz, if anybody knows him, on Saturday. And then next Wednesday, we head to the Dallas-Fort Worth area to do one contest for FCA. And then the world championship for FCA is the following week. And that's a huge deal. You know, 500-600 contestants.
So when you cook your steak, are you using something special? Do you do it right off the chimenea, or do you have what's your setup when you cook a steak?
My setup? Well, let me answer that with what most the cooks. I personally, you know, I prefer, 90% of the teams cook over charcoal. And whether, you know, a lot of times because of traveling, they're cooking on smaller grills, PKs, Hasty Bakes, Weber's, most of them are some form of a charcoal. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't checked out SCA, there's tons of videos out there. Those guys, it's amazing what they do. They go and they trim their steak in a special way, tie it together.
Yep.
Put pins in it, and they're down to the exact science. Most of the guys that win a lot, gals too, I should say.
Yeah.
They know exactly, you know, they put 16 or 15 charcoal briquettes in their deal. They know what time to light it, what time they're 93 seconds and they're flipping it, or what, you know, it's down to that kind of a thing. You know, they're using several different seasonings, and it's freaking crazy. I mean, it really is. If you ever want to get involved in that and barbecue competition, either one, my suggestion is go take a judging class. Mm-hmm. Number one thing to do if you want to compete, take a judging class. You'll now know what you're cooking towards. And you know what the judges are looking for, and especially the SCA stake, that it's critical that you start, in my opinion, that way.
Yeah, but, and at least you got a profile. You can taste the steak profile. I was going to say, at least you have a profile of what people have been cooking, and you can compare it to when you cook it to see if it's similar to what they're cooking, I guess.
I teach a lot of barbecue judging and steak judging certification classes. And one of the things I tell them when they first get started is the downfall of becoming a judge is from now on, your barbecue will suck. Every restaurant you go to from now on will suck because you're comparing it to these guys that are the best cooks in the world, cooking the best meat that they can afford. And not only that, you're eating probably the top 2% of what they even cook. Okay. You know, for a rib contest, they may cook 3 or 4 racks of ribs to get 6 of them to turn in. Mm. And so I'm a horrible cook. Now, you know, that one bite of my rib, and it is nothing like I can get at a case BS or a rib contest, you know. And so that's the drawback. Now, I get a lot of good food from a lot of cool people, but you know, there is a payoff.
Yeah. Oh, pretty cool. Tell us about this octopus thing that you cooked.
Yeah, what was that all about?
I knew that was coming up. Okay, so for those of you that don't follow me on social media, now there's a reason to follow me. If you've never had a freshly caught smoked Oklahoma octopus, you need to check it out. I'll spill the beans on what it really is, but I was cooking with a young man by the name of Caden Blake. You need to follow him too. KB, I think KB, I should know it by memory. I don't. Anyway, Caden Blake, he's one of my friends on Facebook, so you can track him down that way. Yeah. He's a 14-year-old kid. He hangs out with all those people I just mentioned all the time. So anyway, we're down in Oklahoma doing some content, just messing around and looking for something to cook. And the only thing we could find that was interesting at the grocery store was some big pork primals. And so we took a pork loin, and he had the idea. It's like, have you ever seen them do the braised pork loin? I'm like, yeah, that's kind of cool, but everybody's done that. And then it just kind of popped in my head. It's like, you know what? Let's do this. I'm going to turn that sucker into an octopus. And we'll just have fun with it. So I have a how-to video. It's a short TikTok video now, that and it's on Facebook and everything too, but you can watch it. It tells you how to do it. And it's basically a pork loin that we have cut and trimmed out, and we grill it, position it, so it looks like an octopus.
Literally,
oddly enough, it tastes more like pork. I'll let you in on that, but it was a fun thing to do, and you know, I've got a lot of feedback from it, and it's just kind of fun, you know. And Frank's trying to talk me into doing one down here this week, so we'll see. We may have a have something to change. Now, the inside part of it, the hardest part is trying to get the tentacles to not be part of it undercooked. So so far all the ones I've cooked, I'll be honest with you, I've overcooked the tentacles, you know, and so I think I might even have to change my plan and maybe butterfly that something out when I do it to make it thinner so it cooks all evenly. But truly, I mean, it's more like cooking pork. But yeah, check it out. Let me know what you think.
Yeah. I don't know. Dale asked, are you going to get involved in the Rib Cook-Off Association?
Yeah, Dell, I was one of the early people to jump in on that and became a member. I volunteered to be a rep for that also. I'm kind of I know the people that are running it, super, super people. It's kind of being designed, for those of you that don't know, they're starting it up and it's just cooking ribs and they're trying to get back to the fun and less seriousness of competition. And so, I was as encouraged by, cause I thought it was going to be cheaper. Maybe we could do it, you know, cheaper. But it's about, as far as putting on a contest, from the organizer side of it, it's about the same fees and same cost and prize money and all that. So, but you know, a lot of feedback, quite a few less rules, and I think that's what the cooks are enjoying so far. And I haven't been to one yet. I've heard good things. You know, they've had two, I think, contests already, and I'll actually be running into them. They'll be down at World. At the World Championship or SCA too, and Dirk Mullins is behind it. If you want to look him up, but yeah, just the Rib Cook-Off Association, Dell. If you, I'm pretty sure Dell's already involved in it, or he wouldn't have brought it up. But yeah, if not, you know, definitely get on. They've got, last I heard, over 500 to 600 members already. So.
Wow.
It looks like it looks like it's taking off good.
Dale just come down to Georgia and won some stuff over the weekend.
Yeah. Says he's typing on my computer. Let's see what he says here.
Yeah. I think he was reserve grand, I think. That's not too bad. I have not pulled the trigger on that.
Oh, he hasn't pulled it yet? Okay, yeah. Depending on, you know.
Do you want to jump on with this, Tal? I didn't know. I know you said you were going to be in late, but if you want to come on with this, you can. He said, how can they bring rib cook-offs to New Jersey? Oh, you're fine.
Oh, there you go, Tal. Reach out. Just get online, man. There are a couple different ways. Of course, I'm going to plug. There's three different ways. Here you go, Tal. I'm going to give them all to you. KCBS. That you can do a single contest with just a one meat contest with ribs through KCBS. SCA now you will allow you to do a rib contest even without doing a steak contest attached with it. And then now the Rib Cook-Off Association is going, which Dale Fortin GBA. Okay, sorry, I'm trying to read doc too. So the Rib Cook-Off Association is another way. I'm getting it in NJ. I'm assuming that's New Jersey, right? We'll go with that anyway. So, yeah, you know, if I can be, Tal, reach out to me. If I can be of any help, I've got some additional contacts I'd be happy to get you hooked up with. If you want to have a contest up there and you want to fly me in from from Alaska, I'm in. Let's go.
He's been about every state there is. I think you'd go on to hit up there next.
Yep. Right, nice. If you can do it during football season, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw it. You're a Chiefs fan?
No, I'm born and raised in Kansas City, and I'm a Raiders fan. Figure that one out.
Raiders. Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, I take a lot of abuse. We've sucked for so many years now that it's
I'm more of a Chiefs fan, but I'm here in Georgia, so the Falcons, so I can't say nothing.
yeah, there you go.
The Falcons, I ain't even gonna get started with that.
Exactly.
So what would you say? Do you have a favorite rub combination, or what rubs are you using on most of your stuff right now?
Oh, wow. I have a rub collecting problem. as you can imagine, being, you know, I've met all these people. I've become friends with a lot of them. Everybody and their brothers got rubs, if not four or five of them. And I feel obligated that I need to buy everybody's and try them all. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. If you really sit down, your all-purpose rubs, especially if you really sit down, there's a chance that some of them are using the exact same mixture in with a different label.
Yep.
So, you know, when I retired teaching, I went to work for a big liquor, well, the biggest liquor store in Alaska, something to do. And everybody would come in the liquor department, like, what's the best whiskey? You know what? There is none. The best whiskey is whatever you like. The best rub is whatever you like the taste of. Unless you're competing. If you're competing, you're trying to make that figure out what the judge is like. And so that's where it gets. But if you're cooking it in your backyard and you just like salt and pepper on your brisket, just put salt and pepper on it, man. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
But you know, one of these days, if I have my own rub, I'm going to tell you that, you know, that's the best of the, you know, the best way to use it. But I did down at NBBQA. There's a company down there. They actually put my label on one of their all-purpose rub things. So I actually do have my logo on a rub, and we cook steak with it. It's just salt, pepper, garlic. Well, it is, but but it was pretty good. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of like saying what's the best smoker to use.
Nope.
You're going to get 20 different answers if we put that out here, right? So.
You got to ask him, Ashley, though. You got to ask him your question. Sauce or no sauce?
Oh, yeah. Come on, man. I got to get one.
All right. So I'm giving you my opinion of preference only. And I'm going to say what I like to eat, not anything to do with judging. Okay. So what I like to eat is just a dry rub rib. And I'm from Kansas City, where they sauce everything, and it's sweeter than crap, right? So, if I do glaze ribs, but I usually put a light glaze, you know, a light sauce if I do them that way. And you know, it's kind of like, what kind of steak sauce do you like? I hope I don't need one, you know. So it's kind of my attitude towards it. My advice to you as a judge and a rep, you're probably not going to win a rib contest without putting sauce on it. That's just, people try it all the time and they do really well at very, you know, the odds are against you. Yeah. You know, it needs to be shiny and glossy and pretty when they look at it. And, you know, a lot of the judges, for whatever, especially KCBS judges, like a sauce, and that's just the way it is. So they put sauce on their dang brisket too, you know. Sarah's asking what's my favorite meat.
Ashley loves it.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm a sea fan too. Sarah, it looks like Sarah's asking favorite meat to cook.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm gonna take that
favorite meat
the easy way. Pork butts. You know, why? Yeah. Because they're easy and you can't hardly screw them up. And, you know, it's one you can throw on and, you know, go to sleep if you want to and do it. But I enjoy, it's hard to beat a good pulled pork sandwich, you know. As far as eating I would prefer brisket, you know, but my brisket sucks. So I have a hard time wasting $100 on a brisket and knowing that it's not going to be that, I'm not going to be happy with it when it's done. So
yeah.
I need to keep practicing. Sarah.
I make fajitas all the time because screw up fajitas and they taste good. That's why I think I cook fajitas constantly.
Richard, you could. You know, another thing, Richard, is you can use the crappiest meat in a fajita and season it and cook it.
Yeah.
And it's still good.
Yeah.
It's cheap.
That's funny. What meat do you just hate to cook? Or is brisket going to be it?
To hate to cook chicken.
chicken. Nobody likes good chicken.
Well, I can't, you know, I'm never happy with it. I tend, you know, you ever take that bite of a piece of chicken you cooked and it's raw? Oh my God. it's such a bad experience that it makes me overcook my chicken most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm learning as I go, I'm learning, you know, trust that thermometer for internal temperature.
Oh yeah.
You know, pull it off a little bit earlier than you normally would. You know, I'm getting guys that are telling me to pull a chicken breast off 20 degrees below what they say a safe level is, you know, and I'm nervous to do it.
Nope.
But if you look at the science behind it, and we can get Frank on here, he can do the science thing.
What's Frank, the temperature?
The science guy.
They say 155, right?
165.
Chicken's 165. Yeah, 165. And I'm not advising this for legal reasons, but I'm being told by people that cater when they'll cook it, take a chicken breast and pull it at 150 and they'll wrap it in plastic wrap, whatever you would call it, saran wrap, and they'll hold it in their holders. And if they can hold it at 155 for a certain length of time, and I don't know what that is, you'll have to do your research. That way I stay out of the lawsuit for getting salmonella. But they say if you can hold it at 155 for a length of time, it does the same thing as taking it to 165 without drying it out. So I don't know. I still get nervous. I hate chicken breast anyway because the boneless, skinless
Dale, you got chicken breast. Dale was a chef. What did they teach you in school? What's the same thing, Dale?
No, I can't.
Yeah, Dale probably knows that. Yeah.
My thermometer's got to say 165. I could eat this guy. It could be the toughest piece of chicken.
Yeah, usually chicken.
What's a little salmonella among friends? I love it, Dave.
You could share.
Dale's about to lighten us on what the real thing. He's a real cook. I'm just a wannabe.
It'll be interesting to see what Dale. He's been in this.
Yeah. Nope. Where'd he go?
The anticipation of Dale's response.
There he is. Sorry. Here he goes.
I'm with you, man. Nope.
Yep. There you go. Yeah, he's doing the CYA thing too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet if you showed up in Dale's backyard for a cook, that he's gonna pull it a little early too. Just he knows what he's doing. So, you know, I can't ever get that bite through skin. I don't know, Dale. I don't know how you guys do that. Every time I try to smoke chicken with the skin on, it comes all off in one piece and like rubber. So if I cook chicken legs, I have a tendency to smoke them and then deep fry them to finish it.
I get that good crispy skin.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's funny because I'll see how Dale does it, but going, you know, my story is going to Meyer and mixing. And I remember sitting there with his son, Michael, after the class, and I was given a little more, I guess you call it, in-depth stuff with him. We were just picking his brain. And he was like, you know, most of the guys in the competition, of course, they cook it in butter and do all that kind of stuff. And he's like, another trick, which is the way I do mine now, is I'll take a pan. I cook everything in a pan. That's just one for cleanup and two just the way I learned how to cook it. But I'll put chicken broth in it, and I'll start with the skin up, and then about 45 minutes I'll flip it down. I'm sorry, my throat. And then I'll almost cook it till it's done, and then flip it back over, and then put more seasoning, let it set, and the skin will just bite through, like all get out, and the smoke's there, everything's there, the seasoning's set. So I won't change. That's the way I like it. And a lot of people look down on, you're cooking in a pan, you're cooking in broth, but it's good. It works for me. Well, that's the way I'll do it.
I can tell you most of the guys I watch do competition chicken. Dale probably does it too, but I don't want him to share his secrets. But, you know, cooking in
that's it too.
Cooking in a butter bath, you know, to start out with. I mean,
yep.
You know, but they're also, you know, they're cooking those thighs and legs that they turn into 205 internal temperatures. I mean, they're cranking them way up there to get that bite through skin, but they're injecting the crap ton out of them too, you know? So, you know, they're pumping a lot of water in them to keep them juicy. And,
yeah.
And I mean, there's a reason that these guys are good is, you know, they put in the time, they figured out how to do it. You know, they can take a crappy piece of meat and turn it into a, you know, something that's really good. So that's, you know, kudos to them. I take a great piece of meat, turn it into a piece of crap sometimes. Brian and Jeff, there he goes. Yep, that's key. Yep. We won't ask him what Brian and injection recipes he uses, but.
I want to start doing that.
Jacquard, it works great. I love Jacquard.
What was that, Richard?
I was going to say, I want to start doing injection more. I have never done that. I want to start trying that out and see how that comes out.
Yes, I inject everything. it's time consuming, but it's your preference. You know, a lot of people that you get on the Facebook and sit there and fight with people for hours on, no, you don't need to inject. And you got the guys that, you know, it's just like asking, do you cook low and slow or hot and fast? You're going to get, you know, with all kind of answers, but I love injecting.
You drive a Ford or a Chevy.
That's it.
Same argument. Yeah. Everybody's, you know. Sorry, I left Dodge out there. So.
Yeah, I was on there the other day going back and forth with somebody. If Max and I just scored the back of his the membrane on his ribs, and why he needs to stop doing that. And I was like, no, it's actually getting more smoke penetration. You don't have to eat that rubber. Man, he had an answer. I thought I had to stop because you'll sit there with the troll all day long fighting back and forth.
Yeah. I like doing the barbecue like weekend thing because there's no pressure. You can do whatever you want. Most of the time, everybody that eats it is they're happy with it. They don't complain because they're getting free food. So it works out usually just backyard barbecue.
Yeah, Dave's comment there. I know he's referring to. He's referring to competition chicken thighs. And I took a competition chicken class with a guy you guys might have heard of named Harry Sue.
He's actually
slap your daddy's off. He's phenomenal. And so he came up to Alaska, and I took a class with him, and I swear to God, I thought I was in a college science class. He was talking about just everything. He had us go through it, and Dave, we had to take the skin off of every piece of chicken, scraped all the fat off of it to where you could almost see through it, trimmed them down to what they're all symmetrical and look like you said, they're little pillows, and then we seasoned them and brined them and injected them and then put, you know, and I was blown away. I was convinced that I will never be a competition chicken competitive cook. You know, after all that, I'm like, this is too much damn work.
That's a lot of work.
I have some friends that have been they've been involved with KCBS now for over 35 years, and they're reps now, and they've cooked for years, and their name of their barbecue team was, I won't share what it was, but it was ABC Barbecue Competition or ABC Competition Barbecue and Chicken. What they said, because they sucked at chicken all the time, and so they cook competition barbecue, and then they also cook chicken, you know. But it never was competition chicken in their eyes. So Yeah, I think chicken is probably the most work out of all the four meats that, that people are cooking. Unless you've seen them whole hog guys, those, you talk about a job that that looks like crazy work.
Do you ever cut the bone out of your chicken thigh?
Boneless? I don't ever cut it out. In the competition, they usually cut the ends off of them. Just to make them symmetrical, with it, just enough for that end to wrap around like a pillowcase, and it's
I've done both.
They cook wire cutters; they're good, Dave. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, good, good boning knife. What I used on mine when but that you've done more than I have probably, and that's a good idea.
Yeah. I've got to where I enjoy I like half chickens. I love cooking half chickens. If I can cook more of it together, it stays juicier. You can take the temperatures up and it never dries out. I mean, that's just thought so anytime.
Spatchcocking. I like to spatchcock them.
I guess the Championship Barbecue Association, which is basically is Texas Barbecue Association, basically what it is. They just had the Houston Rodeo and Barbecue competition down there this last weekend, and that's one thing they do is I believe half chicken, and go figure, the winner was chicken fried barbecue. That guy is Bill Purvis is amazing, man. He rocks it. He's using the wrong drums right now, but we gotta forgive him for that. But
that's frightening. Yeah, I sent you the invite, Tal. If you did, you could let me know.
Guys, I need to bail out and jump off here. So let me give you room for Tal, and I appreciate the invite. Anybody who needs any information or contact me, just reach out to me, and I appreciate you guys letting me spill the beans on all our stuff.
And I didn't know you were on TikTok. I'll have to find you on TikTok now that I know.
I'm not doing dances, I promise you.
Now you may get more views.
I'll see if I can get Frank to dance with me this week, and we'll make a dance video.
All right, buddy.
John, we're going to talk about the jersey competition soon.
It is right there. Now, that's what I pay
for. All right. Yeah, let me know. Reach out to me. We'll see what I can do for you.
We'll be seeing
you. We'll do, sir.
All right, guys.